This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Beth Voorhees at 7:35. West Virginia University students recently finished up their final examinations for the school year. During this time period, of course, many stay up long hours to cram to prepare for the tests. And according to West Virginia University journalism students who performed a research study, many are reaching for prescription drugs to prepare without a prescription. Beneduccio reports.
It's called Adderall. It's a prescription drug used to treat attention deficit and hyperactivity disorder and narcolepsy. According to the Food and Drug Administration, its side effects are stomach ache, headaches, and decreased appetite. Although those may sound like minor symptoms, Adderall is an amphetamine, which according to the FDA has a high potential for abuse. The FDA says people with heart problems or who struggle with depression can experience severe problems from abusing this drug, even death. And Adderall is getting into the hands of college students who are abusing the drug, according to a story compiled by West Virginia University journalism students. As part of a new experimental storytelling class, some of these journalism students worked with a representative of the Wall Street Journal to complete an intensive web project to investigate the story. Students talked to their peers about why and how college students are getting their hands on the drug. Brian Bumgardner is one of the student reporters who covered this story for the class.
Well, when we talk about study aid abuse, I mean, you see on a national level all kinds of reporting about this. You see people talking about, well, the abuse of Adderall is rising, Adderall prescriptions are rising, ADHD prescriptions are rising. But a lot of these stories see this issue from the outside. What we had here at WVU is we are students. These people, we see them around us, you know, every day. We're inside this subculture and we can see it from that perspective.
Kristen Basham is another journalism student who worked on this project.
We had this very close relationship with this drug, so it made perfect sense to kind of do this story. And we found some really crazy things and people were totally open to talk to things.
I have taken the instant release. I crushed it up and snorted it. And that was for partying, not for schoolwork. Because after long days of doing lots of work, I was tired and didn't want to go out drinking. And people offered me lines of Adderall and said that it would wake me up and keep me up all night. It was a lot of fun. It kept me up and it kept me having a good time.
The students created an interactive website with facts and video and audio interviews collected from students and medical professionals. Through their interviews, the students learned it's not just students at WVU who are using Adderall to get their high.
I know my mom has asked me for Adderall because she wants to clean the house. I've given her Adderall before so she could clean the house.
The common denominator was, oh, it's not harmful. People treat this thing like it's scheduled substance, and, you know, it's in the same schedule as cocaine, but people would see this thing as just a study aid. Oh, it's just like, you know, people would talk about popping Adderall like they would drinking a Red Bull. And so as a result, you see people who are like using it for cleaning. One person talked about using it to stay up all night to play video games.
Basham and Bumgardner say it was surprising to receive so much openness from people describing their Adderall use.
We actually were really surprised. We went into this project knowing we were going to have anonymous sources, knowing people didn't want to incriminate themselves, and we didn't set out to try to incriminate anyone. We didn't want to kind of ruin anyone's reputation or things like that. And we asked people about if they knew someone who used Adderall on camera, and they would say, well, I use it, and this is my experience. So it was kind of incredible the amount of people that were totally like, I drink 8 cups of coffee, and I also do 2 pills of Adderall a day.
You know, I think that in itself proves that, number one, people don't understand how serious this is. They don't understand the side effects. They don't understand the charges themselves, you know, the legal issues that you face. It shows that people don't understand that, and at the same time, it shows that law enforcement agencies aren't cracking down on this and busting people for this.
The students also say the university itself isn't completely aware of the issue.
There's a lot of alcohol awareness, but there's not a lot of drug kind of education, and especially with these study aid drugs. I mean, there's a lot of information on kind of the date rape drugs, Ritalin, and things like that. But the stuff that goes with Adderall and Concerta and Focalin and all of these ADHD drugs, there isn't a lot of prevention.
Reaction to this piece has been very positive, according to these two students. They are showing the website to faculty at the university and other students. They hope this story creates a more open dialogue between university officials, students, and others who are trying to stop widespread abuse of the drug. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Beneduccio in Morgantown.
And to check out the interactive investigative report journalism students put together and to learn more about this story, visit our website at wvpublic.org. The two-year-old Marshall University School of Physical Therapy held their second white coat ceremony last week. Clark Davis has the story.
Year one as part of the Marshall University School of Physical Therapy was not easy for Aaron Jordan, a native of South Carolina.
Yeah, it was, I'll be honest, it was a challenge. I spend more time here than I do in my own apartment. I pretty much live here, but I wouldn't trade it for anything. I love it.
Jordan and her fellow first-year students took part in the annual Doctor of Physical Therapy White Coat Ceremony at the St. Mary's Center for Education, where the School of Physical Therapy is located. Unlike other physical therapy schools, the two-year-old school at Marshall chooses to award the white coats after a year in the program. Dr. Penny Kroll is the chair of the School of Physical Therapy. Kroll says the idea is to do it once the students have begun to see what the coursework is like.
And during that year of coursework, they've taken some practical examinations that let us know that they are capable of handling a clinical environment. And so the reason why we give them the white coats at this point in time, because after the summer, short summer semester, they're going out into the clinical environment.
The school is in the candidacy for accreditation stage and hopes to achieve full accreditation next school year. The class that received their white coats Friday are part of a three-year physical therapy program. She says she's happy with the progression of the program.
But we have managed to come up with faculty who have expertise in all the areas that we need to cover. And again, the facilities are fantastic. We couldn't ask for better.
Dr. Eric Tarr spoke with the students Friday. He's president of the West Virginia Physical Therapy Association. He says he always tells the students to remember to be confident.
They get to put all the investment that they've made in the years that have led up to this point into practice. And so when they go in and start interacting with our patients, that they need to realize they have that and kind of shake off some of the intimidation. 90% of getting that patient's confidence is being confident in yourself.
Tarr says receiving the coat means a great deal to prospective physical therapists.
It's a big step to go from didactic curriculum into actually putting your hands on patients. So it's a way to celebrate what they've actually learned and give them some confidence actually as well when they go in to know that they've actually completed something and should be proud of that and have something to be confident about when they start interacting with patients.
Gabriel Blanco is a first-year student from Cincinnati. He says to receive their coats means a great deal.
I think for any one of us, getting the white coat is really symbolic that you've put in the work, you've gotten that foundation of knowledge, and now it's time to expand upon that and get out there and really just start building up your clinical thought process.
The class contained 40 students. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Clark Davis in Huntington.
This is West Virginia Morning. It's 7:43. Mostly cloudy skies today with a chance of rain and thunderstorms. Temperatures in the 50s and 60s, reaching the 70s in the south. Lows tonight in the 40s and 50s. Partly sunny, but with a chance of rain and thunderstorms tomorrow. Temperatures in the 60s and 70s. And the same forecast for Wednesday.
Support for West Virginia Public Radio is provided by Wells Home Furnishings, designing rooms for the way you live. Details online at wellshome.com.
Algae blooms continue to plague many waterways around Pennsylvania, including Lake Erie and the Chesapeake Bay. Farms and wastewater have gotten a lot of attention for contributing nutrients that create these harmful blooms. More recently, the spotlight has focused on lawn care. Grass fertilizers also contain the phosphorus and nitrogen that wind up in waterways. Now, international regulators and others are pushing Pennsylvania to ban some lawn fertilizers. Julie Grant reports for the Allegheny Front.
Michael Pelletier is spreading fertilizer pellets in the grass of a manicured park-like area behind a new business development.
Once the fertilizer starts to work, you'll see the color improve. The turf will fill in some of these thin areas, and the shade will start to fill in a little more. It'll recover from the winter damage. The plants should be strong, healthy, dense turf.
Pelletier has been doing this kind of work for more than 30 years. But these days, fertilizer is getting a bad name because it can run off the land and into waterways. The Great Lakes, particularly Lake Erie, as well as the Chesapeake Bay, have been choked with algal blooms in recent years. And fertilizer ingredients such as nitrogen and especially phosphorus are getting much of the blame.
Well, it's fertilizer, and so what happens is when it runs off, it fertilizes the water, literally.
Dave Dempsey is a policy advisor at the International Joint Commission. The IJC regulates the lakes and rivers along the U.S.-Canadian border. Dempsey says nearly every state and province bordering the Great Lakes limits phosphorus and lawn fertilizers. In a report earlier this year, the IJC called on Ontario, Ohio, and Pennsylvania to take action as the only three without phosphorus bans. He says it's common sense.
Most lawns don't need phosphorus to begin with. Most have enough in the soil. We're essentially just putting phosphorus on the ground to run off. We're wasting money as consumers, and we're creating an environmental problem.
Another call to action is coming from Pennsylvania's neighbors to the south, from the Chesapeake Bay Commission. It's a partnership between Pennsylvania, Maryland, and Virginia to restore the health of the bay. The other members have put limits on nitrogen and phosphorus and lawn fertilizer sold in their states. Pennsylvania Senator Mike Brubaker of Lancaster County has introduced a similar bill in Pennsylvania. He says there's more grass fields than farm fields in the region.
There's more acres of grass than there is of field corn or wheat or oats or any other crop. So by putting a more moderate amount on, less will ultimately go into that water course and ultimately down to the Chesapeake Bay.
Brubaker's bill limits the nitrogen in lawn fertilizers and bans phosphorus, except in seed-starting fertilizers. And lawn care professionals like Michael Pelletier will need to get certified by the state to apply fertilizers. But some groups say the law won't help the Bay or Lake Erie and might even harm water quality. Greg Robertson is with the Pennsylvania Lawn and Nursery Association. He says most people don't fertilize enough. A healthy stand of lawn or turf grass holds on to lawn chemicals so they don't run off into waterways. Robertson says all the state laws ignore this.
They weren't paying any attention to the science. This basic assumption that if you put less fertilizer on, you'll get less pollution is in fact not true. And in fact, you fertilize to the point that you get a nice, dense, healthy stand of turf grass, and that actually reduces pollution.
While some researchers do agree a healthy lawn can better hold on to chemicals, using fewer chemicals has also worked. John Lehman is a biologist at the University of Michigan who's been studying the Huron River for more than a decade. He found a big change in 2008 after the city of Ann Arbor started limiting lawn fertilizers.
Frankly, I was quite surprised that even after the first year, we could see an effect.
Lehman says the ban reduced phosphorus in the river by 25%.
And if it was only 1 year, we'd have to think that that was perhaps coincidental. But we saw it repeated 3 years in a row.
Since then, the state of Michigan and others in the Great Lakes have passed limits on lawn chemicals. Lehman says the health of Lakes Michigan and Superior have improved in recent years. Lake Erie remains the most polluted with fertilizer nutrients and the most troubled with algal blooms. And while the international community and others push for Pennsylvania and Ohio to take action, lawn care professional Michael Pelletier says a fertilizer law will cost him and consumers more money, will be impossible to police, and make little difference for the environment.
I do not think this law is necessary. It's not in our best interest to over-fertilize a lawn and excessively use fertilizer. It's the most expensive product that we use.
Pelletier's company already uses fertilizers without phosphorus because it's not necessary for a healthy lawn and it saves money. And as more states have passed lawn chemical limits, most of those big bags on the shelves at Home Depot and elsewhere are also being formulated with zero phosphorus content. For the Allegheny Front, I'm Julie Grant.
The Allegheny Front is a weekly public radio show focused on environmental issues in Pennsylvania and the surrounding region. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. We're interested in your comments. You can send them to feedback at wvpublic.org. Follow us on Twitter at @WVPublicNews and find us on Facebook. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Ben Aduccio. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Beth Voorhees.